For our memory text today, it is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 18 and verse 19. We have two of them. That's Genesis and chapter 18, verse 19, and 3 John, verse 4. So I pray we start with Genesis 18 and verse 19. And the Bible says, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him." Next memory text is on 3 John and verse 4. And the scripture says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." May God bless the reading of his word, and our speaker today is Marianne Nwachukwu. God bless you and happy Sabbath.
Oh, happy and blessed Sabbath, everyone, and good morning. And happy Father's Day to all our beautiful fathers out there, and also fathers around the world. We would have had our potluck for our fathers, how we've been able to congregate, but we'll do a rain check. We'll do that next time when we are allowed to be together again as a family. I would like to give a brief history on Father's Day. I was kind of curious. I'm a curious person. I'm always watching documentaries and history channels. So I decided to Google. Everything has been Google these days. I decided to Google how did Father Day come about. And in 1910, a lady called Sonora Smart Dodd, in 1909, she went to a service, a Methodist church service that they had for Mother's Day for the lady who founded Mother's Day. Her name was Anna Jarvis. And Sonora went to the service, and it had a profound effect on her. She realized that they are honoring mothers, why not fathers? So she went to her pastor and told her pastor, "I would like for us to start something new. I went to a service, and mothers were being honored. I don't understand why fathers are not being honored." And her pastor was like, "Well, that's a good idea. When do you want to do this?" She's like, "We can do it June 5th. Go do it in June, the beginning of June," which is her father's birthday. Her father was a veteran from the Civil War, and he had six kids, including her, six kids, and he was a single dad. They didn't mention her mom, but he was a single dad taking care of all of them, and she thought that he deserved to be honored, especially during those times, being a single dad. So the pastor agreed. He said, but the time was too short, that she should give him at least 2 more weeks to prepare his sermon. And 2 weeks after, it was the third Sunday of June, June 19th, 1910, and that started Father's Day. But she had little problem making the day official. She had a lot of setbacks. She had to go to school. She wasn't a proactive person in that. But eventually, in 1966, President Lyndon Johnson did a proclamation to make June 19th, or the third Sunday in June, Father's Day. It was still political tension going on. And then finally, in 1972, President Richard Nixon signed in law, that the third Sunday of June should be official Father's Day. And there we have it today, Father's Day. Who is a father? My topic was choosing to lead. I strongly believe that if you decide to have children, a couple, not just a father, it takes a couple to make a child. If you decide to have children, you are automatically choosing to lead, whether you like it or not, because the children or the child gonna look up to you. So I wanted to define who a father is. I asked a couple of friends, and according to the dictionary, it said that a father is a head of the home, a father is a leader, a father is a male figure who has parental or legal rights. I'm putting parental or legal rights into quotes because these days people lose their parental or legal rights depending on certain situations. So that's the worldly view of a father. But according to the Bible, a father is someone, or a male figure, who ought to, supposed to, must bring up their children in the way of the Lord with discipline, encouragement, comfort, love, caring, instruction to their children. In fact, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 said, fathers, specifically to fathers, it said, fathers, do not provoke your children, but bring them in a way that they should fear the Lord. Before I continue, I would like to give a disclaimer about my topic, because I don't want people thinking that every single parent or every home without a father, the kids are doomed for destruction. It's not true, because I was in a home without a father for the first 11 years of my life, and I can proudly say I came out good. My mother was a single parent, and she instilled a fear of God in us, her three children. At the time, we were two, and we came out good. She actually had to work to take care of us. So instead of leaving us home by ourselves to run around and get into trouble, she decided to put us in home economic school. That's like an after-school program to do activities after school. We used to go there, and I learned how to cook, to crochet, to knit, and my sister learned how to sew, and today she's a good seamstress. So she did everything to keep us in the right track as a single parent. And then eventually she got remarried, and we had a dad, and that made a big difference. Even though we had everything, but it just made a difference having a father figure in the home. And our father is gone today, but he made a great impact in my sister and my sibling lives. So I just like to put that disclaimer out there. Not everyone who has no father means they're going to turn out bad. But statistics prove that majority of kids around the world, but I'm going to focus on America, there's always problems with a fatherless home. Fatherlessness is the greatest trauma that young people face today in the world, especially in America. This is according to USA Today, one of the articles. There are always negative consequences for most people, not everyone, like I mentioned earlier. And some of them could be risks for substance abuse, suicide, abuse of all kinds, physical, emotional, you name it, depression, anger. Some kids are so angry because they don't have a father figure. Poverty, poor school performance, problem with the justice. We see that every day. As a matter of fact, I just watched a documentary about the incarceration rate of the youth, whether black or white. A lot of them are in prison because of the bad influence they had looking up to someone as a father figure. It could be some thug, you know, as the black people call it, thug, and simply means someone who think they are all that and they can do anything or whatever, and no one has anything to say about it. You know, some kids look up to these people for advice. Some of them go to some elder male person to look up to advice, and they are like sponges. They absorb everything this person tells them because they have no father figure at home, especially if their mom is always working. So they spend time with their person or persons, and they end up being trying to emulate whatever the person tells them to do. So will this problem ever be fixed? I hate to say no, but according to the Bible, as the world gets older and older, things will get worse and worse. The love for men will grow cold, violence will increase, evil will abound. We see it every day around us. Matthew 24 told us that Jesus prepared us for these things to happen, and that includes family. We have so many single family out there. So I'm hoping that things get better, but in the same time, we have to know that prophecy has to come to pass. So what do we do in the meantime? Do we just sit and say, oh, things not going to get better, so we're just going to live our lives? No. Noah lived in difficult times, but he still trusted in God and built the ark to sustain he and his family. So we shouldn't just sit and say, oh, well, everybody's doing it, so I will just have my kids and whatever happens, happens. No, we still have to instill the fear of God in our kids and be productive parents. Some of the things that happen today is just unbelievable. There was a story about a nun who worked, a Catholic nun, who worked in a nun prison, in a prison, actually a prison, all male prison facility. And when Mother's Day was approaching, a lot of the inmates came to her to ask her for, if she could buy them cards so they can send out to their mothers. And she did. She bought boxes of cards, and they were all excited to send it out to their mothers for Mother's Day. And then when Father's Day came, no one asked her anything, and she got concerned. And she asked them, she said, what's going on? Mother's Day, you guys all came to me, now Father's Day, you are not saying anything. They're like, oh, most of us don't have fathers, so we don't care. Which is very stunning. That's a true story, and statistics has proven that, that most of these kids who are in prison, they are fatherless. Today in America, we have so many disastrous and negative consequences of not having a father in their homes. When a couple, I'm not going to just focus on a guy because it takes two to make one, as I mentioned earlier. When a couple decide to come together as a family to bring up, to increase the family because the word said we should go, the Bible said we should go and multiply. So when a man or woman come together to decide to have a family, like I said, they automatically become leaders, especially the man, because we have God, we have the Father, and then we have the family. So the man has a serious responsibility. He has to be a God-fearing man, first of all. He has to be a good role model. He has to set his family priority. He has to love his wife, because the kids are observing that, especially the male kid, the male child, observing that. He has to love his wife. He has to be caring. He has to be trustful. He has to have integrity. He has to have discipline and be flexible, not rigid. He has to be flexible with his kids. Because kids grow and their priority change. According to the Bible, Deuteronomy 6:7, it says that we should teach our children the law. God commanded us to teach our children the law. He said we should bind it in our hearts, in our hands, our foreheads. Simply mean that we should keep it in our minds, not like write it on our forehead, of course. We should keep it in our minds to always teach our children. So when they get old, they do not depart from it. We should talk to them about it every single day, morning, night, at home, when we are out. It's our sole responsibility. Jesus once said, when he walked this earth, he said that you might as well put a millstone around your neck and drown yourself if you lead a little child astray. So parents are solely responsible, especially fathers, for taking care of children and making sure they are in the right path. Some of the God-fearing fathers are decided to look for in the Bible. There's so many of them. And funnily, all of them have issues, just like us today. No one's perfect. They all have problems, but God still used them, and we can still learn from them today. The first person is Noah. Noah was very humble. He did not bother with the noises around him. People were ridiculing him, laughing at him. He still took care of his family. He built the ark that God told him to build, even though it hadn't rained, but he still obeyed, humbly built the ark, and his family was protected. So he protected his family. He was obedient, and he was humble. Abraham came to mind. Abraham was trustworthy. He depended on God for guidance, even though he had no clue where he was going. He depended on God to guide him. Just like fathers today, when you have no clue what you are doing, just bring it to God. Depend on God. He will lead you. So Abraham trusted God, and God led him through. And today he's been known as the father of the nation. Isaac, Abraham's son. Isaac trusted God for provision. There was a time in the Bible, according to the story, we know that God asked Abraham to sacrifice, and Isaac to sacrifice his son, and then he, God gave him a provision. We know the story, I don't want to go into that. Moses, he had two children, but maybe he had more, but mentioned two in the Bible. He had a huge responsibility as a leader, being a father of the Israelites or the Jewish people. He tried to work his way out of it, but God told him that he was the man for the mission, and he did what he had to do with God's help. The same with fathers today. Fathers today can ask God for help if they are confused and think they are not competent. after having brought children into the world, if you think you are not competent, you can ask God to help you, to guide you in being a good leader. And Joseph, Jesus' earthly father, he's kind of a little bit underrated. People don't talk about him much, but he was a good father. He's one of those, they didn't mention anything much about him, but he was a very good father. Why? He protected his wife. Even though she got conceived by the Holy Spirit, but people thought it was something else. People thought she committed adultery, but God revealed to Joseph the consequences of her having a baby and how she got pregnant. And he obeyed God. He could have said, this is just a dream, but he obeyed God and protected his wife from being stoned, because that was the culture back then. If you are not married, you'll be stoned, because that's adultery. And he taught his children, especially Jesus, he taught Jesus to use his hands on woods and to be a carpenter. So that's a good thing earthly father can copy today, to teach their children, protect their wives, protect their children no matter what, because you are in the covenant to be God's family. And God, of course, is our most loving ever creator, Father, our Heavenly Father. He's the one and only, our Heavenly Father. He loves us all, whether we are black, white, Asian, African, Chinese, no matter who we are, he loves us. He doesn't care about race and nationality. He loves everyone. It's so amazing that we have this problem going on about race. If someone take a knife and cut my vein right now, it's going to be blood flowing out. If they cut a white person's vein, it's going to be the same blood flowing out. If they cut an Asian person's vein, or a European person's vein, or an African person's vein, or whoever, it will be the same blood. And interestingly, in a hospital, when they are trying to give someone blood, they don't say, oh, is that an African blood? Is that an Asian blood? No. They only look for the blood type. They don't care who the blood comes from. It's all about a blood type. Just like we each have our unique fingerprint, we all have unique blood type. As long as those blood types match, there goes the blood to save someone's lives. It's not about black blood or Asian blood or African blood or European blood. It's not about that. It's interesting that people don't look at race in that area, but they look at race in other stuff. I just had to mention that we are all God's children, no matter where we come from. So that, back to my topic on the Father. God loves us all. He is faithful. He is constant. He does not change. He is dependent. We can depend on him for everything in life, every single thing. It might not be the way we want it, but he knows what's best for us. He is caring. He is protective of us. When the enemy tries to destroy us, sometimes he lets certain things happen. Why? We don't know. But we just have to trust that God knows best. He is our provider. He provides for us. He puts our lives in a whole new perspective if we allow him to do it. Because he is a God, he's not a tyrant. He doesn't force anyone to do anything. As much as he loves us, he gave us the free will to let him, for us to let him into our lives, to have an impact into our lives. He gives us strength and wisdom and understanding. Everyone, in fact, a parent, parents, a single person, every one of us, specifically fathers, should emulate these characteristics of God. And if they do that, I can tell you that I don't think there will be a problem in their homes. Even if the devil tried to destroy their home like he's doing today with drugs and sexual immorality and the social media, and the list goes on and on. But because that person has the fear of God instilled in them, they will be able to rebuke wherever it's coming. I want to give a quick story. When I was growing up, because we were in a single family home, like I said, for the first 10 years of my life, because when I was 11, my mother got remarried, and we had a fight about, well, in our first 10 years, my mom was so strict, we couldn't understand. Friends used to laugh at us. So you guys don't have your dad. Why your mom don't allow you to do this? I'm like, my mom is a very strict mom, so she did not take, I mean, she was very strict, but loving. She, sometimes when we saw things our friends had, we wanted it just because we saw it, she'd be like, nope, I'm not going to give it to you just because you saw your friend with that. I will give it to you if you need it, not because someone else has it. And we grew up that way. And every morning she woke us up to pray, and she still does that today. She prays every morning, and we saw that in her, and we copied that. She was a single parent. That's why I gave the disclaimer, not all single-parent children end up that way. It's up to the parent to instill first the fear of God in themselves, not fear God in a way that you're afraid to talk to him, but reverence. Reverence God, and that will automatically transfer to your children, because your children will see those characteristics in you, and they will eventually be like that. So I'm saying that all fathers, everyone, parent, single or not, should emulate these characteristics of our Heavenly Father, but with the Holy Spirit's help. I would like to again read our scripture readings that Joseph read beautifully. The first one was Genesis 18, verse 19. It said, "For I know him in order that he may command his children and his household." I like that. God said, "I know him that he must command his children and his household, not just himself." If you decide to be a father, you have to take care of your children and your entire household, that they may keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice. That's very profound. And the second verse is 3 John chapter 1, verse 4. It's only one chapter. It says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." I have children, and every day I pray for them. We can pray all we want, but sometimes the enemy is so busy, the kids go out there, they have peer pressure, they have the influence of other people out there. Only God. We trust our children in God's hands. There was one time I always used to be so protective of my children, and then this day I dropped them off at school, and then something told me, "You are dropping them at school. What then? What if something happens? Are you there? So just trust me." So I realized that God, even though I pray for them every day, I'm so protective of them, I want to be everywhere they are, but I leave them in your hands. They are at school. Anything will happen at school. I see people skip classes and go and do whatever and come back to school. They could do stuff right in the school campus, smoke and do whatever they want to do on the school campus. So the best we can do is to instill the fear of God in our kids. Pray with them, talk to them, don't hide things from them, so they can know how to make good decisions. And I would like to also read Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. I should have added in the scripture, but I didn't want to have too many scripture reading, but this is very good, and this applies to all of us. It says, "You shall teach your children diligently." This is God talking to Moses. And then Moses telling the children what God told him. "You should teach your children diligently, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes." Interestingly, like I mentioned earlier, I love to watch documentaries. I've seen some religious people take the Ten Commandments and tie on their foreheads, like between their eyes, and put it on their hands. So I'm like, is that what God meant for us to do? And I went, of course, again, doing research, and I hate to say it, I don't want to be judgmental, but I think that's kind of being a little bit fanatical. I think God simply means that we should keep his law in our hearts, in our minds. God, the frontal lobe is very powerful. That's what we should keep. I think God has our decision-making ability there. He wants us to always keep in our hands doing good for others and doing good for him, for his glory. And we should tell others and help others. I think that's what he meant. That we should tell our children about this, his commandments. And then if the children get to know God, they will eventually serve him, obey his commandment without any force. It's not legalism to obey God. Because if you love someone, you want to do whatever they ask you to do, if it's a legal thing, to please them. So if we tell our children these things, especially fathers, they will eventually learn to love God. Even if they wander, even if they stray away from the truth, the Bible says, "Train up a child in the way that he will grow, so he will not depart from it." They will eventually come back to that foundation, even if they wander away, if the enemy tried to take them away. But because they have that solid foundation, like the man in the Bible who built his house upon the rock. The rain came down and down and did not wash his house away. And the man who built his house on the sand, his house was washed away because he built his house on a weak foundation. So we have to build our children's lives on a strong foundation. Even me, I have some weaknesses. Sometimes I do things I'm not supposed to do, but we keep praying. As long as we have breath, we are living in daily righteousness of our Lord to help us lead our children that we brought in this world. With that being said, I would like to say a short prayer to help all fathers and all parents, as a matter of fact. But I'd like to emphasize on fathers because tomorrow being Father's Day, that God will help us to really help our children, especially the black youths. There's so many incarceration every day, every single day, shooting, people going to prison. Oh, and if you go in and check the background, a lot of them don't have fathers. And it's a thing now, people boast about it, calling them my baby daddy or my baby mama, like not my father or my husband. 90% is really bad. So we have to pray. We who are praying to God daily have to pray for our youth so our children will follow in that same step, that generational curse. Our dear Father, I thank you for this Father, this message you gave me, Lord. I thank you for your goodness and your kindness, Father. We know that things are getting so bad, Lord, but we still trust in you. We trust in you like how Noah trusted in you despite all the evil he had around him, Lord. We have so much evil around us, Lord. So much violence, Father God. We ask you to make us strong, sustain us, give us endurance, and especially help us who are parents, our fathers, Father God, to be God-fearing men, to teach the children in the way they will go so that they not depart from it, Lord. Help us, Father God, to reach out to one another and not to criticize one another, to love one another despite where we come from, Lord, because we are all your children, Father. We just thank you, Lord, for this, your beautiful Sabbath day, the sunshine that we have, Lord. Everything you made, you say it was good. We thank you for the rain we had. We thank you for the snow we had in the past. And now we thank you for this beautiful sunshine. Help us to enjoy your day, Lord. Every day, not just today, Lord. Help us to enjoy it and to always put you first. We just present our fathers to you, Lord. Please, Father God, touch them. Touch their hearts. Touch their hearts, Father God, that they will be good examples to their children. And also the mothers, Father God, touch them also, Lord. I thank you, Father God, and I praise you. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen. Thank you.